putting this down a little bit. I'm not a professional public speaker, but I've been blessed with an opportunity that God's allowed me to do, and I hope that I can share this testimony, maybe motivate some people out there today. This is awesome, all right? Fall time, football, pumpkin spice, Dave up here singing. Man, that's great, right? And for all you deer hunters out there, we got deer season in. Woo! That's something to praise about right there. Woo, I love that. Now, there's been a joke in our row in church. As Pastor Dave said, we go here to Two Rivers Church, and I've loved every second of it. And we, our family, we like to feel the row. You know, we bring everybody. And we go here with my family and my great friend Kyle Smith and his wife Devin. And we've loved every second of being here. But there's a joke when they put me on the screen. All right, every time they put me on the screen in the church, like they would all start giggling and looking at me like, you going to speak, you know, and then everybody in the church would start looking at me and everything. It was kind of nerve-wracking. I was like, man, they really produced some hype around me speaking. I was like, man, I sure hope I don't let them down, you know, and kind of like UNC football this year. Hey, NC State fan over here, so kind of had to throw that joke in there. But anyway, since an early age, I have loved reality TV shows. I've loved American Ninja Warrior, American Gladiators, Survivor. You know, I just knew that if I ever was on one of them shows that they would love me, you know. I even contemplated The Bachelorette till I met Ivy over here. And so I guess that one's out now. But anyway, I've always loved it. And so when that opportunity for me to go on the Titan Games presented itself, I just knew that it was God saying that he had aligned me with it the whole entire time. But anyway, when I was younger, all right, my slogan on the show was Country Strong, right? So when I was younger, my dad, he would kind of mask like us doing his chores, like, and kind of mask it with, oh, you go out there and you go lift the feed bags and go feed the cows or whatever. That'll make you stronger. You'll be stronger than everybody else on your sports teams. And I was like, oh, yeah. And we took great pride in that. Now, looking back, he just got us to do his work so he could sit down on the couch and watch football. So, but anyway, but we took pride in that hard work. And when I think about Country Strong, I think about David and Goliath. I'm sure you like, oh, how cliche. But anyway, David was out there in the field with the livestock. He was a livestock farmer, all right? And then he went and struck down Goliath, you know. And David, they said his body was different. You know, he was built different. He might not have been busting out the eyeballs with muscles, you know, veins popping out of everywhere, but he was country strong. Like, he had been wrestling with the bears and the lions. He was ready. He was the epitome of being country strong. And so that's where the Country Strong kind of comes from, was David and Goliath's story. And when I think about a Bible verse that kind of goes with that, 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so when I was on the Titan Games, you know, I'm sure the audience and everybody was kind of looking at the competitors, and they're like, man, this kid don't stand a chance, man. Like, he don't have, like, huge muscles and everything. He's not as big as they are. And that's kind of been the case my whole entire life when I'm playing on sports teams. I might not have been the biggest, but they can't see what the Lord had put inside of me. They can't see the heart that was inside of me. So when the people and the fans started looking, they started second-guessing me, and then I became the underdog. But I knew I was never the underdog in my heart. I knew I could win. When I graduated college, I was kind of in a season of, I didn't know. Anybody ever been in that season? You didn't know what you wanted to do next. Just kind of like, you didn't know where you were going. And then I was praying every night, like, Lord, point me down the path that I can go down and I can touch people. He said, if you become an agriculture teacher, a high school teacher, you're going to touch millions. I started adding it up, you know, two semesters a year for 30 years, 30 kids in a class. That's a long way from a million, Lord. I don't know if that's the case, you know, but I trusted him. And it was soon after that I got a call to be an agriculture teacher at Croatan. They actually called me, and they knew I was kind of looking for a job. And they're like, hey, we'd like for you to come teach at Croatan High School. And so I got the Croatan, and looking back, if I'd have never been a high school teacher, I'd have never been able to be on the NBC's Titan Games. So, and just to let you know, on average, a night on the NBC Titan Games, 3.55 million viewers happen tonight. They had 3.55 million people watching the Titan Games. That's not including Hulu, YouTube, or anything like that. 3.55 million a night. And that was just, when I saw that, the average viewers, it was just like a resignation, like almost like, told you so. And I was like, okay, all right, I trust you. But before I got on the Titan Games show, I've been teaching 2 years, and I still knew this dream, all right, that the Lord had put in me. You're going to touch millions if you become a high school teacher. So I kept on. I felt like I was right where I needed to be, but I knew I was called for more. So I was trying to be patient, but it was very hard to be patient. But I was trying to be patient when it come to, you know, going and accomplishing what the Lord had put in front of me. But when I saw that Titan Games ad, I was like, I'm going to apply for this. I feel like this is right here. This is up my alley. So I applied for the Titan Games while I was in class, supposed to be teaching. I was watching YouTube. But, you know, the kids enjoyed it, so we're good. And 9 months later, I got a call to be on the Titan Games. So after I applied, it was 9 months before I got the call. And so after I got the call, they flew me out to L.A., California. I'd never been to another country before. So California, man, that's different for an Eastern North Carolina boy. Am I right? Yeah, L.A. My mom was crying, don't go out there, please. Don't. I'd never been on a flight that long either, so it was different. I rode around the Atlanta, Georgia train for like an hour, not knowing where to get off. I was confused. But anyway, I got to L.A., and just like I had envisioned when I was younger, kind of the people loved me. I went out and I competed, and I had a great tryout. Competed with the physical strength and conditioning and things like that. I did fine. As soon as I got back, they called me and said, you're on the show. I was like, yes. All right. So in 2 weeks, I flew out to Atlanta, Georgia. But before then, I couldn't tell any of my kids. And I was back in the classroom that next Monday after I got back from L.A. And so I said, I'm going to test my kids. You know, I'm going to see what they think about it. And so I turned on the Titan Games thing. And I was like, after the thing, they're like, Mr. Shutt, that's pretty cool. I said, yeah, what do you think? I think I'm going to try out for that. And they're like, it's like a unanimous decision. Please don't embarrass yourself. You're going to get killed, son. Mr. Sutton, you're going to embarrass us and yourself. Please don't die. But anyway, I was like, man, if I wouldn't have already known that I was going to be on the show, that could have deferred me from like going and trying to chase my dream, right? That could have almost put an obstacle in front of that, like, and me doubting myself. You've got to be careful who you share your dreams with, because if they don't know you, they don't know what the Lord's put in your heart, then they could hurt your dreams. They can make you fall back and like, oh, and not pursue what the Lord had called you to do. So you got to be careful who you share your dreams with. But I knew that I had already been chosen to go, so I knew I was already on the show and I'd already seen my competition. I knew I was okay. I knew I was going to be okay. And I knew there was a bunch of people bigger than me and stronger than me and better looking. But I just knew that I was going to be on the show already. So when I got to Atlanta, Georgia, we had the competition, right? If anybody watched it, the first one was Nuts and Bolts. Now, I teach ag mechanics, all right? I teach a shop class in high school. I was like, this is up my alley. Nuts and Bolts, all right? I get up there. The thing goes, go. I'm running. I go, and I jump on it, and I try to turn it right. To get a nut off, lefty-loosey. Righty tighty, Will. You learned that. The first thing you learn in Eastern North Carolina is lefty loosey, righty tighty. And I still, every time I see a bolt in ag mechanics class, I'm like, grind it off, guys. We're going to weld it. You know, we're going to weld it. We ain't going to mess with them bolts today. I guess I got a little bit of the PTSD from that, I reckon. But anyway, I was faced with elimination right then. It's a double elimination the first round. I was like, I'm going to go home right after the first round. Well, I don't want to go home yet. I come this far, you know. Maybe my kids were right. Maybe I didn't stand a chance. And then I remembered a Bible verse, Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I was like, man, I know I'm country strong. My strength's not small. So you got time to saddle back up, you know, and you got to go again. And so the next competition, Lunar Impact, I went, won that in record time. And then I went on to win six competitions in a row to get to the finals until I ran into a wall, you know. Yeah, it was rigged. No, it's not. It wasn't rigged. But I did lose. It cost me $100,000. But it's okay. On Mount Olympus, that was how where I lost that. But I had won four in a row on Mount Olympus. If anybody watched the show, you know it's a really hard obstacle course. But what you do doesn't affect the other person. So it doesn't like a strength based, not like arm wrestling or anything where I would be just over strength him. It was a race against the course and you hoping you had a better time and you beat the other person. But what I did couldn't affect the person beside me in any way. Now, I did have a little bit of a strategy, and I knew that I was kind of quicker than the other person. So what I did was I would run as fast as I can and try to get a lead, and in turn, they might would try to get a little bit faster, and they would try to chase back up and catch back up with me. Instead of running their race, they would try to chase me. And I knew that if I ever got behind, I was still going to run my race. And I was going to save my legs because I knew the ball and chain at the end was super heavy. I mean, it's like a great big buck you're dragging out of the woods. You know, it is super heavy. And I was like, you got to have legs for that. So what I would do is I'd run really fast. I'd get ahead a little bit. And then they'd start chasing me. And then they'd say, oh, I'm behind. I got to catch up. And so they were worried about me and not what they were doing. And then they would exert all their energy. And they didn't have any energy at the end. And that was kind of my game plan. But it's kind of like in life, you know. Sometimes we look at what people are doing in the lane next to us. We look at what our friends are doing, and we look at what other Christians in the church are doing, and like, oh, I got to do as much as them, or they got this house, I got to get this house, instead of just staying in our lane. If you're running on a treadmill, and you're running, and you start looking to your right and to your left, then sometimes you might veer to the right or veer to the left. And you might hit the edge, and then you're on the floor of the True Fit Gym in New Bern, and everybody's laughing at you. So you got to stay in your lane. You can't worry about what other people are doing. When I think of that, I think of Matthew 14:29. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? See, Peter got sidetracked by the things around him that he lost sight of what his goal was in his race. All right, he lost sight of what he needed to do to get to the end of Mount Olympus. And that was kind of what my mindset was going into every single competition on Mount Olympus is run my race. And I was doing fine until I hit that wall. I was doing fine until I hit the wall. But, you know, you can't chase after what others have. So is there any fantasy football fans in the house? Any fantasy football? And I love fantasy football. So as a fantasy football lover, you get to pick your favorite NFL players that you think are going to do the best that week. And it's all about finding somebody that's consistent. You know, you don't want to pick somebody that might have 20 points this week and 0 points the next. You want somebody that's going to go in and do work every single week in the football games. And so when I started, you know, setting up my lineup and getting ready for this, I was like, you know, I want to be, am I going to make the starting lineup for God's team? Would I make the starting line? Am I consistent enough in my walk with Jesus Christ that am I dependable enough that I would make God's starting lineup for his fantasy football team? You know, am I chasing after Jesus Christ in my lane? Or am I doing something else and I'm not as dependable, letting the world get a hold of my life? Or am I going after Jesus Christ? See, we need to be consistent. All right, I'm a basketball coach, varsity basketball coach at Croatan High School. And I got players that put in work every single day. And some of them play more than others. But there's not a time where these kids, when I call their name, they're not ready. All right, they're always got their shoes on, they always got their shorts on, and they always have their jersey on. See, they were ready every single time that I needed them in the basketball game. Just as I was ready 9 months later after I got the phone call. That's a long time. It's almost a year. But you have to have your jersey on. You don't know when the time's coming that God's going to say, hey, it's time to come on. You don't know when that time's coming, but we have to be ready. We have to be suited up, and we got to continue to work hard toward our goals. We have to stay in our lane so that we are able to be in God's starting lineup of his fantasy football team, right? So I want to leave y'all with a little bit of a Bible verse that kind of touched my heart from my basketball coach when I was in high school. Galatians 6:9. For do not grow weary of doing good, because you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So keep going, stay in your lane, and be ready when the time is called. And that's all I got. So.